guests and honored, distinguished delegates of the board game community. Welcome to Miss Dunn Needs More Games. I am Nick Bruno, your co-host and co-creator, and here is a special part two episode of a board game yet to be named.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
The intro is different because this episode is different. Things are getting crazy. We're in the midst of finalizing this board game, nailing it down, naming it, and shipping it off.
Right. We did not do that last time. And I just want to let our viewers, or I'm sorry, listeners know that we don't check with each other when we are going to change up the intro and things. So I was not expecting that and didn't really know how to follow that up. So a lot of the things that we do on this don't get really run by each other before it's actually done. So I apologize for those who are unaware, including myself.
Well, I won't apologize, actually, because that's what we do here. It's spontaneous, it's different, and we come up with new games all the time. I do hope that it didn't truly throw off your mojo and your vibe, but...
No, it did not. I just was not... This has never been established.
Unprecedented.
That, yeah, I understand this is our first two-parter, and this is our first... We're in the 20s now. This is 21, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
yep.
where we're at.
This
yep.
is 21.
Yeah, so I do understand the levity of it. It is a pretty big milestone to pass, and good job for us. Will the podcast be getting more and more serious as we go on?
I don't think so. I just really wanted to try and bring something new right off the bat, since we are... I mean, heck... We could even discuss this off air, but is this going to be episode 21 or is it going to be episode like 20B and the first one was 20A? Like, do we present it that way?
This should be 21 in my opinion. I was just thinking it'd be like funny to have like by episode 50, the music is like now just like very monotone. And then we start the podcast with like, what is a board game? Who invented the first board? Who invented the first game? And like, and then, because honestly, I thought you were going in like
Miss Dunn Needs More Games. We are a board game podcast with fun and merriment.
Uh-huh. It would be called like 60 minutes of board games.
Yeah,
I thought this was like the, it sounded like you're that was a very good like 60 minutes kind of intro. So something to ponder on, something to consider. Also don't run it by me if we are going to be doing that. Just
start going.
It. Yeah, exactly.
We'll have a metronome like clock ticking in the background the entire episode too. We're not going to chicken out like those 60 minutes people that just run during the intro. It's going to be the entire episode.
Yeah. You'll be able to count it out
continuously.
So you'll know when the ending is coming, when it's exactly halfway through. Mm hmm.
So I guess to just start off, do you kind of want to, maybe we can even go back and forth too, but do you want to start off with like a recap of what we've got thus far? Because I think I remember everything. I think I have it down pretty well.
Yeah. I do. And I had listened to most of it just to kind of give myself a refresher. It was a TTRPG, which is why this is a two-parter, because TTRPGs are massive. And what it is that everyone gets, all the players get a camera and a predetermined destination or theme of what everyone's characters will be. They go around and snap some photos of like either the beach or the museum or whatever, and then they build a character based off of the things that they had taken a picture of. So I think in our example, we had like a cowboy dinosaur... and then a third thing. I forget what the third thing was. And then, you know, we give them traits and attributes based on what they do. Like, maybe they're a gunslinger, but they also got tiny arms. So they can't holster their gun, and they always have it out, which may be a little threatening. And and then from I think we decided and we can go back on this, that they jump into other pictures, Blue's Clues style, and there's like a main hub world, and the DM will also like take pictures and have like a mashup of different kind of worlds that are coming together. Like for our example, we had like a volcano island village that had some, like the volcano was going to erupt and the players had to use their traits and abilities to save the villagers or like push the quest forward in some way. And they could go back to it after they have like moved the story forward to like stuff of that nature, you know, like you could go, yeah. You could go back and return to these worlds after events had happened and then kind of push the story forward. However, I guess the DM saw fit. And we, you know, there's no like classes. I don't think we came up with anything like that unless we were like looking to really nail down this time some specific classes, some stats that they might have, like what a turn looks like, you know, stuff of that nature now.
Yeah. I think to get the ball rolling and just to put it out there, I don't think this game has classes because of how we've kind of built out how you use skills or how you come up with skills, let alone how you acquire them with your character gating strengths and weaknesses over time as you complete different missions. Or again, I remember saying in the last one thing, I forget what core rule set uses this idea, but it's the idea that the only way that your character ever levels up is by actually failing rolls and missing on skill checks or you know, attacks
whatever. That was said, but I don't know if, like... Well, no, I thought we had decided that, like, you can level up in certain ways after failing and growing, but did we decide that that's the only way to level up? Because then what's the, you know, what would encourage the players to go into a scenario and actively try to solve the problem if they know they're going to do better by failing, you know? Like,
but that's not really the message that I would get from it. It's more like, I mean, yeah, if you succeed and you do the thing, then you complete the quest and you get it right. Or like, you know, you do what you set out to do and that's your reward. But when it comes to failing, I think it gives it a little bit of like, oh, okay, like, I didn't do the thing. Like, again, okay, so, like, we can look at it two different ways. Volcano is exploding, and my big, strong character attempts to literally separate the village, like, push part of it off of the island and create a new island so that the villagers can live. If I succeed, then I did it. I pushed the village off or whatever, and the volcano exploded, and everyone stayed alive, and I got to do that. If I fail, then maybe I tried pushing it, I didn't do it in fast enough, some people tried to evacuate and flee, some people didn't make it, and then the houses were burned or whatever. So I didn't do that thing, but then kind of as a consolation or just as the idea that, yes, you did fail, but at least you get an experience point, you get that experience so that your character is just one step closer to leveling up.
I like that. I think that's fine, but I don't think that should be the only way that you can level up. Like, I think if you know, just like if you work out, if you pushed an entire village away from lava, obviously you'd level up in some way and get a little bit stronger, you know? Would you not agree?
This is true. I guess just like, I mean, so I don't know. I mean, if we, then I guess that would just be kind of like all of the time, but I don't know. I guess my biggest thing is that I know, like, D&D and other games or whatever, they reward experience for, like, just doing a thing in general. Like, even if you don't win or lose at it, or it's, like, it's not really about, like, the outcome. It's mostly just about it being dealt with. You level up, and it can just be, like, you know, any time that the game master decides that... You've hit a threshold or you've hit some kind of key note in the story, that's when your characters would level up, and that's like fine, but I don't know. I just, we can scrap it if you really want to. I just really, really like the idea of there being some kind of incentive for a fail, or there being some kind of, you know, even if it is just like a small reward, it's like you know, it's like a learning experience.
Well, I think that's great.
It gives a character something.
Yeah. Well, okay, so how about this? What if for this game, there's no actual levels, and with this idea of Gosh, what am I going to say? Like the character sheets can just have like some sort of traits or things that you've seen on it, and you can just add more and more like descriptors to your character based on right. like the kind of events. So you start off with three pictures and you give your guy three descriptors. Good with guns, has tiny arms, and I don't know, I'm just going to say mummy because I kind of forget what the other one was. And is like immune to necrotic damage. That's the mummy part. So as you're moving forward and progressing through this game, let's say that you do push this island away, even though one of your descriptors isn't being particularly strong, and you push the island away and you succeed, now you get to add strong to it. And then you can like, okay, yeah, my character did prove himself to be strong, so here we go. Now, if you fail, maybe you do get like a bonus, or it's like, you know, maybe you failed and the plan didn't work, you get to add like brash or something like that. But you could still describe it in a way that maybe could be a positive, that you being brash means that you don't get intimidated. And if there's ever a situation like this should be like this character sheet should be a whole thing of like descriptors like that build your whole story, so that if the DM yeah. ever throws anything at you, you then can maybe argue and point to my character's brash, so that thing you just tried to do doesn't intimidate me, so I get a bonus on this roll. If you then say, if there's you don't have brash written on there and your DM tries to intimidate you, maybe you still want to try to resist the intimidation, but you don't get that bonus roll. Does that make sense? Like all of the descriptors can help you get advantage on a roll as long as they're there, but you can still do any of the actions that are in front of you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, That all makes sense. I guess it's just about landing on, do we 100% say that when you if you succeed at something? So let's say I already have the strength thing, and you know, I assume that if I'm rolling narratively with something that I'm already that is my strength, or you know, one of my strengths, a positive attribute that I have. If I succeed at that, then what do I get?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Okay, so how about we balance this out this way? That you only can add a positive trait for yourself if you complete, like, a long story mission. And that's, like, the form of leveling up. If you fail tiny missions, then maybe you can add more of those, like, minor traits to yourself, like, faster. So by failing, you do add more skills and things like that to your character sheet quicker than you do succeeding, because like a longer story mission will take a lot longer of a time to add like those positive traits. But, you know, along the way, if you do fail, then you can start adding more of those like not quite negative traits. Or it's like, you know, maybe they are, but you just got to find the right way to spin them, you know?
Okay, I think I actually have a good way mechanically in nailing it down of how adding these traits and successes and fails and all that stuff would be calculated, so to speak.
Okay, go for it.
So, let's say I do not have the strength key or, you know, word on my chart or on my character sheet. And all of us, maybe, we all come up with the idea that the only way that we're going to, you know, save the village is if we separate it entirely from the island. And so, you know, everyone has kind of attributes or something like that maybe they're good at. Like, maybe someone's, like, a mole person, and they dig, like, a trench to try and, like, literally create something to separate the island. And someone mm-hmm. else does, you know, whatever. Blah, 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 all that stuff. And then my thing that I try to do is push it. And I fail. Or, no. I succeed at it. So, then, in almost, like, a temporary pool, I add strong to one of my potential things that I'll get whenever I level up or whenever we choose to level up. So I add strong, and then we do another thing, and maybe I succeed again, and this time it was spotting a hidden key or something in a room or solving a puzzle. And so then I put, you know, observation or, you know, whatever word that's like eagle-eyed, I don't know, another yeah. positive word. Now, when I fail at something, maybe this next thing, we try to coerce someone, and I, you know, try to, yeah, smooth talk them or something like that, and I fail and end up being, you know, too, I'm really just the only one I could think of is brash, but, you know, like, I'm just too pushy or something like that. And then that gets immediately added. But when we level up, I get to add one extra positive thing. So you get like a pool of things that you have acquired or that you've proven throughout your, what am I trying to say? Throughout your quest or whatever, throughout whatever you're doing, the successes that you get are added into essentially a temporary pool. The more successes that you get, the more options you have available to you. But the more failures you have, the more of those options you actually get to pick. Because maybe when you level up, you only get to pick one of those. But if I have like three ticks in the failure column, then I would get four total bonus, strength things or strengths. But your failures are added automatically. So it would net positive, but I would have four more positives after the whole quest and three more negatives.
Okay, I like this. I think that would definitely work. In order to help balance it as well, I think what we would need is an entire dictionary of... Not an entire dictionary, but like we need like pre-approved descriptors that can be added.
Terms, yeah.
And obviously, it's flexible. If you can't think of anything, you can always go to that. But we encourage you to maybe write your own if it's approved by the DM. But if you really just want a whole sort of key of, like, we can even, like, label it of, like, I don't know, like, strong characters, headstrong, and cunning actions, and stuff of that. And, like, each cunning one would have all of, like, the broken down into columns of, like, positives and negatives, and, you know, like, it'd be, like two left feet in, like, the negative cunning action or something like that, if you prove that you can't be sneaky or whatever, stuff of that nature. So we would definitely need some sort of, like, large booklet that would include all of these things of, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, I like that idea, having, like, the tick kind of thing. And then after the mission is done, then you have those additional attributes to be used or counted against you in the next mission.
Yeah. I think to get a little bit more gamified too, along with those words and stuff like that, maybe like how we kind of organize it is that each word or like set of skills or whatever, you know, strengths, weaknesses, all those things are kind of categorized by each ability that they would do. Yeah, like, you know, like strong or whatever, you can like lift heavy objects. Like if you're like, you know, durable or whatever, you can take more hits. And then that is where, if we want to, we can start to have actual numeric values of like attribute points. Or I think what is more interesting or like, you know, better would be like actual like abilities where like, you know, you can be like helpful and maybe that like lets people like roll an additional dice or you have like literally an action to like give an extra die to someone on one of their rolls, maybe like once per mission.
Uh-huh.
Or you could even go so far as like you could like literally be like, I don't know, medical doctor. I'm trying to think of like an adjective way to say that. But
well, that's like more of a class, but we would have to have it be something along the lines of what if we had like different trees? Like what if you said like
if you have a,
knowledgeable,
if you have a certain...
and then in that tree of knowledge you could be medically knowledgeable or like engineering. Ooh. Like knowledgeable or stuff of that nature.
What if abilities and stuff are like this? As you accumulate these strengths or positive keywords or whatever, if you can get specific ones and group them together, then you unlock that ability. So yeah, if you get knowledgeable and if you get, I don't know, maybe like dexterous, if you throw it in there, and then the last one, like you get physical or feeling or something to do with the anatomy in the body or whatever,
yeah,
then you can say like I have like the surgery skill that if someone, you know, gets shot or, you know, gets hurt or something like that, I can use this
cauterize them with the cowboy's branding tool.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, like, so, like, if you get specific keyword combinations, that's when you start to unlock different abilities that, you know, and it can be, like, a pool of words that can be for each ability. But once you have, like, I don't know, like, three or four, like, each ability can have different stipulations or a different number that you need of the list required in order to do them, you can do that. Like, yeah, like, I don't know, if you had, like, scientific and ingenious and, I don't know, blah, 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 something to do with time and theoretical or whatever, you can, like, maybe create, like, a stopwatch time machine type thing that you can use once per round to give your team an extra set of actions, like, okay. A very powerful bonus. You know, like, I don't know, just spitballing some abilities here.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Yeah, okay, so, I mean, a lot of this is, like, it seems like our character sheets are going to be pretty blank, besides, like, just kind of, like, the stuff that we make up on it. But I do like the idea that, I mean, it should all be, like, the one thing I really want to avoid with this game is just a bunch of arguments with the DM about what people can and can't do, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I think it's great that you, I like this idea that you can, like, combine different sort of trees. And I mean, like, with any TTRPG, the booklets are always huge, minus Honey Heist, which is very short. And, yeah. I mean, there is still a lot of improv in that, you know, the DM can or, you know, doesn't approve. But I guess, like, I mean, how are we determining, like, what kind of roles do we want to do? I guess is where I'm going with this. Like, how do we, is this going to be done by, like, a D20? Is we going to be, like, flipping a coin? What's your ideas on that?
My idea is that, so yeah, it will be, difficulty checks or skill checks, whatever the term is for that, where the game master says, like, okay, in order to pass this thing that you have described that you want to do, you're gonna have to roll a 10 or 11 or blah blah blah, whatever number that they come up with as fair. I think for rolls, what the player gets to roll in a pool from is a number of d6s, and I think to keep it relatively simple so that it doesn't get too complicated, so that you're not, like, going all over the place or whatever, I think if you are not proficient nor are you weak at something, you get to roll 2d6s. If you're proficient, if you have a strength or whatever that's applicable to whatever you're doing, you get to roll 3. And if you're inefficient or if you have a weakness of something, then you only roll 1. So I feel like obviously this would be up to a good GM to do or whatever, but it's like, you know, if I say you need to roll a 6, if you're rolling 2 die, that's pretty easy. But obviously if you're weak at it, it's 1/6 chance,
right?
In order to succeed that roll. That's just kind of my thought off the top of my head, how to, like, make it quick, or at least, like, make it very concrete of how these things would be decided and done.
You know what I just thought of? That,
go ahead.
I just, this is a ridiculous idea and doesn't need to be applied to this game, but what if for every single roll you had, like, yeah, like a difficulty level to pass, but how it was solved, or, like, every single mission, this game required you to have, like, multiple sets of dice going from D4s to D20s, and how it got done is based on how good you are at a certain skill. It would determine how many dice you rolled, but the dice that you rolled were all inside of a bag that you got to stick your hand in quickly and grab that amount that you're allowed to roll. And whatever you pull out, you pull out. So you could have grabbed a D4, you could have grabbed a D20, you could have grabbed three D20s, but that's just, like, what you use to roll. And that's how you would, like, go about the game. And once you use those dice, then you can't, they don't go back in the bag. And if you use all the dice before the mission's over, then you're just done rolling. Then it's a mission failure.
Oh. I like that a lot. I don't know if I like the randomness aspect, but I actually really like the idea that you have a preset number of dice. Like, I mean, it's basically dictating how many actions you can do, because so even if we just go off of what you get when you buy a, you know, set of, you know, gaming dice or whatever, you get a D4, D6, D8, the 2D10s, 12 and 20.
Yep.
Let's say that that is what you are given, or at least like you just have one of those per mission. Now, when you're doing a skill that you're not proficient at, or but you're also, you know, not bad at, you just get to roll one dice, and you get to choose which one you're going to roll. Maybe then...
It should be that. No, it should be something like that, but, like, everyone shares a combined pool, so that, like...
Oh, I really like that.
Everyone's got a combined pool, and we can even start it, like, at a D6, and then maybe you can get lucky and, like... Like, we don't need the D4. Maybe there's, like, a small amount of D4s if you're, like, unlucky with it. But, like, most of them would be, like, D6s, and then you can get, like, a little bit better and, like, get some higher ones. But it would, like, discourage people, like, it's like, we got to do everything that we can, like, spend a lot of time on one problem that's not quite solved when, you know, there's a bunch of other problems that they need to sort of maximize at all of their efforts throughout the entirety of, like, the mission itself. And yeah. If you just run out. And then we can also say, like, if you, after every single mission that gets done, regardless if it's like a fail or success, you add another set of like dice into the bag itself, so that every single time that you go back in, you've got a little bit more time to do the things that you need to do.
Yeah. And heck, maybe, you know, there are people that have like skills or whatever, where it's like, you know, they get one called like Second Wind, where you get to add two more dice to the player pool.
Or yeah. Whatever, yeah. Yeah. Get, yeah. You
know, all kinds of,
or that get, time machine, you know, thing can like go back yeah. in time and get some more dice or something like that. And, yeah,
endurance or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, you can have more abilities. I actually really, really like that, because yeah, it's almost like you really have to plan out when you're going to do these things. Because even if you do roll with something that you're good at, yes, you get to roll more dice, so a higher chance of success, but you're taking out more dice from the pool.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe you choose to yourself, like, maybe you choose, like, I'm actually only going to take, I don't think the difficulty of this one is too high. I'm going to choose to only roll one dice because I think I can get it.
I don't know. I actually was about to say, I think that if you set yourself up, if my character is strong and I'm doing an action where I am lifting something, I have to choose two dice. I have to use them because I set myself up narratively that way.
Yeah. Do we want to have any sort of bonuses, though? Like, you can add, like, +2 or +3 to every single roll if you're strong or something like that? Or is it just the set amount of dice that you roll? And whatever number they show is the number that you get.
Maybe if you have an attribute, like, maybe if we add an ability where, like, yeah, if you have, you know, 3 keywords that are, like, strong, athletic,
yeah.
fast, you know, whatever, then you get to add +2 to
for every single keyword in that tree. Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah.
Then incorporate that. But I think that's the thing, is that like that's kind of the, you know, edge that you have to balance in this game. And I think it's actually perfect too, because kind of what we said before, where, you know, you have these negatives and stuff like that, and this is a perfect incentive of why you might choose to do an action that is in your negative spot, because then you're using less die in the pool. Like, yes, you have less of a chance of succeeding or having it work out as intended, but, you know, heck, you might do it. Right. And if you fail, you know, not only does that obviously progress the story, but you get to tick off one of those fail marks, that you get to choose a positive thing later, like just all kinds of different benefits that can come from that.
Right. Well, cool. I'm glad that system has been fleshed out.
Yeah, I kind of want to like implement that into something, because that's a really, really good idea, that if you really want to, you can go all out and absolutely crush, you know, check after check after check. But then it's like, oh, now we're literally out of actions and mm-hmm. we can't do anything else. So
plus it kind of encourages, I've definitely played some Dungeons and Dragons campaigns where like maybe one person is like really adept with the game and like knows what to do with it more, but like, and they take charge of like all the different sort of skill checks and things like that, or just do all that kind of stuff. But this would encourage players to be not only diverse in the skills that they have, but also have them jump in and use some of the dice action pool so that, you know, you everyone as a team has a higher likelihood of succeeding.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and also, again, it's like you may, you know, be more familiar with the game or whatever, but if the people that are, you know, new to it or whatever have attributes that are better situated for a situation, you'd be like, okay, hey, like, we really need you to, or like, I think you should really roll this. And then, you know, it's definitely more of a discussion of what each person's turn or what the possibilities are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I
love it.
Completely agree with that. Cool. Well, dice rolls, and we also kind of knocked out attributes right there. I still like the idea of every single descriptor that you have that falls under that one tree, you get to add that as a bonus to it, and also adds like how many dice you can roll. So
yeah,
pretty good stuff.
Nice. Oh man, I'm like already thinking like you could like have like an attribute called like resourceful that like every time you roll two die you actually get to put one back into the pool.
Ooh,
something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely in like that's like the, not the knowledge tree, but that would be like like
a support class,
survivalist
or survival,
or something like that, or like
yeah,
you know, a real MacGyver. If you take a picture of MacGyver, then you automatically get the resourceful attribute.
Yeah, you can really finagle things together.
So
paperclip, rubber band, pencil. I made a gun.
Made a gun. It just shoots rubber bands. Or pencils. Yes. okay, so yeah, no classes, no real races in this. This is all just like purely just like made up in terms of the kind of like characters and things that, you know, you bump into. Did we still want to stick with like the main hub world of it being like a Super Mario 64 kind of land where you jump into pictures and stuff like that, or, you know,
I liked that at the time, mostly for the idea that it is congruent with all of the ideas and the fact that other people are like, you're literally bringing pictures. Look at this photograph. as you're, you know, bringing to these gaming sessions. But I don't know. I don't know if it has to be that strict. I feel like we've set up such a game based off improvisation and imagination and coming up with stuff that, like, the photos are there to help or like give an idea, but if you're a GM and you just want to write a full story and, you know, maybe there is like a map or like it's just like one setting or whatever, I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility, let alone I don't think there's any reason that you couldn't do it that way.
So we don't want to establish some sort of like
core,
like this is the Kodakiverse and or the Nikon, you know, something of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't dislike the idea of doing it, but I also, one of my like biggest things when I'm writing anything for a TTRPG or like coming up with something like that, like I love coming up with my own universes that like maybe are inspired by Faerun of D&D or different worlds or whatever it is, but you know, like at the end of the day I still have kind of my own bread and butter of it's maybe a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and like yes, I use the rules and the core stats from these games that I'm playing, but overall in terms of like the theme or the world that I'm in, it's like totally self-made. So I don't know. That's just me.
Well, no, I agree. But like, but even then, there's at least like when writing that, there's a base to go off of like.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's true.
You know, this is like kind of, you know, each of them have like, this is what like an orc's like world looks like in this like Orcaverse, or like, you know, or like orcs are different in Shadowrun, and this is like kind of what they're like. I'm not saying orcs have to be in this game, but like there is like a general. But I mean, I do see what you're saying as well. I mean, all of this stuff is kind of a mishmash of just random things that are being brought to the table. I just didn't know if we wanted to have, like, kind of like a fourth wall break, like, world where it's like, this is why all of these pictures are being brought to the table. And,
okay,
you know, what, you got something?
Maybe it's this. Maybe in this world, there is an evil otherworldly deity-like creature or whatever that is blind and cannot see. Or,
okay.
I don't know. And or maybe in fact, actually, maybe it can see. Maybe it can see everything, but that's what angers it. And it's too much, and it simply cannot... It hates that it sees all of this stuff, and it wants to erase everything. So that is what is the main bad guy of this universe, and that is what is setting up these machinations of, you know, sending, you know, people to their doom or destroying whatever. And it's trying to basically just erase everything. That's what it wants to do. And the players, as such, I don't know, maybe there's another warring deity that values knowledge and information and obviously just life and everything in general. And as such, it beseeches the players would be called seekers or something. And they're given, I don't know, as kind of lame or just, I guess, different or whatever, they're given like magical cameras that when they take a picture of something, it captures its essence and imbues them with its power. And so that's why when you bring photos or whatever to the table, that's how your character gets those attributes. And so then as seekers, you are taking this magical image capturing device and you are, you know, taking it around and doing not only your heroic acts, which level you up to, but maybe you do take another picture of something like that. Or maybe that is kind of the narrative or in-universe of what is happening, is that after you've successfully or you know, you've done your quest, however successful it is, that image is imbued in your character and you progress.
That, I like that. I mean, I think that's a good idea, because I also really like the thought of, like, I mean, I imagine, like, the DM is kind of playing as, like, the evil manipulator. So, like, what if there was also, like, a mechanic that the DM can do at random times that would be, like, you know, how they introduce the next world or place that they go to is by bringing up, like, three images of different places. And this can be, like, random art, real places, you know, stuff from, like, a movie. And that's kind of, like, the next setting. But then maybe throughout this setting that they're in, like, halfway through, they throw a curveball and, like, they just pull another random picture out of, like, some sort of, like, conflict, and it's, like, a meteor. And so now the whole campaign or this, like, setting is changed to being, like, you have this original mission and this world that you are going on, but now a meteor's coming in. And this is, like, the evil deity who is seeing all of these things and, like, combining all of these, like, random mishaps together to, like, create a conflict, basically.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea, or I guess just kind of thinking about it, that this deity, yeah, is trying to destroy and erase things. So maybe it literally does, like, or at least certain ways that you can manipulate stuff is that it's trying to tear apart the fabric of reality of this world or whatever. So, like, okay, like, it maybe the initial mission is you're trying to save a king who is... You're trying to thwart an assassination attempt on a king, but then, you know, the evil deity throws an even bigger wrench in the thing and, like, literally rips a hole in, like, war-faring, bloodthirsty robots start pouring in.
Yeah.
So not only do you have to protect this king, obviously, but you got to stop these robots from invading this supposedly medieval land or whatever.
What if this deity, this evil deity, is actually just an idiot and he can't help himself but look at different things and accidentally combine them, and he's not they're not, like, intentionally doing any of this stuff, and they just have, like, they have, like, billions of eyes, and they just keep looking around and accidentally just, like, losing control and like combining different, like, Star Wars universe with, like, the Lord of the Rings universe, and it's like, oh crap, I'm sorry, like, there's a bunch of things in that are all mashed together, you gotta fix this.
Well, I like that at least there's, like, an evil that it wants to be doing this.
It's not just a big idiot and it can't help itself.
Well, you can be dumb.
He's a dumb.
Maybe that's
big
Dumbo. Maybe that's the only reason. Yeah, maybe that's the only. that's the evil deity's name, Dumbo.
Big Dumbo.
Big Dumbus.
It's the big Dumbus in the sky. Keeps
the big Dumbus.
He keeps looking at different worlds and accidentally combining them together. And now it's your job. You guys are actually avatars of Big Dumbus, and it's your job to correct all of Big Dumbus's mistakes.
If you want to go that direction, that is pretty good, but it is giving a definite new tone to this game.
We're here to help fix all of Big Dumbus's next move.
Big Dumbus's big cleanup.
And the homeworld is like, you meet with Big Dumbus, and it's kind of like the Power Rangers where it's the mighty...
I done goofed it again. Yeah.
Hello, my avatars. I've done a dumb thing. That's why they call me Big Dumbus. I accidentally brought in a bunch of... I lost Amelia Earhart. She's gone. I need you to find her. She got teleported and sucked up into a different world. Please find Amelia Earhart. I'm Big Dumbus.
I'm Big Dumbus. This message brought to you by me, Big Dumbus.
This message is brought to you by me, Big Dumbus. Thank you.
Maybe that's the kind of comedic, lighthearted edge that RTTRPG will have. Because, you know, a lot of them... Well, I don't know. I shouldn't speak out in just such broad strokes. But I'd say a lot of the main popular ones are very intense, very... You know,
I think it's okay to say they're pretty gritty and a lot of them that didn't even have combat. Obviously, there's going to be blood and death and whatnot. So, you know, that I think any of them that has a combat element that covers probably I'd like to say 80% of them.
Yeah,
if I were to guess,
that's the thing, is that heads or tails, you're going to probably land on combat and blood and stuff like that most of the time.
But not with Big Dumbus.
In TTRPGs. Not with Big Dumbus. Well, at least not all the time. But again. That's up to whatever worlds the GMs want to create. They can go ahead and do that. But the core of name pending TTRPG that we have, it is the world created by Big Dumbus. You are his. I don't know. Again, I'm trying to think of a word that would. I just said seeker, but I don't
Seeker's
know.
Seeker's a good. I like the idea that this. Or Big Dumbus's disciples. I keep saying his. We haven't really. I like to think of this as a non-binary, non-gender conforming.
Non-gendered.
It's like a ditto, basically. And it's just got a bunch of billions of eyes that every single time it blinks or moves an eye or every single time it crosses its eyes, it combines two
Something
worlds
happens.
On accident.
Yeah, there we go.
And. But I do like the idea that Big Dumbus's disciples are serious, not serious, but it's an order that you have to get elected into.
Yes.
And it's large and arduous process to get to it. But the thing that they serve is named Big Dumbus, and it just can't help itself. This world, it understands that there is
passing the test of grueling endurance. After seeking the hidden chambers of the lost photos, you are now able to see Big Dumbus.
Yeah. It's to get into
the doors open.
And it just opens up to this huge thing. It's like, oh, hey, guy, I'm sorry. Jeez. Hey, you guys are new? Okay, hey, what's up? I'm Big Dumbus. It's a big secret society, and it's you've proven yourself to be worthy of these challenges and whatnot, so we will show you that there is indeed a higher power that is in control of the entire universe, and it's just a little clumsy, and that's why we're here.
Behold, the secrets of the universe. It's that thing. Big Dumbus.
It is big, 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 big Dumbus.
Okay. That's good. This is good. Honestly, I think we just get a name on this bad boy, and there isn't really a who goes first for this one. It's just kind of the GM goes first.
Right.
You just kind of start.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think name in this one's ready to ship out.
Cool. We don't need to include Big Dumbus in the name of it. It can
Yeah, no, that's fine.
That should be like a secret that, well, if you listen to this podcast, you will know. But that should be like a secret that after you buy the board game, if you don't know anything about it and you're reading it and you're like looking up the lore and the GM's like, wait.
that's got to be a typo.
yeah, exactly. That can't be it. And then it's this whole anthology of Big Dumbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I do like... We can't keep Seekers into the, you know, into the title or...
Something like, hold on, okay, here we go. To the internet, I'm going to look up thesaurus or synonyms for, like, cleanliness? Something about, like, cleaning or correcting or something like that.
We could... What we so Not you really develop cool. a photograph, you know, it could be like
that's true.
You're developing, you know, a relationship with Big Dumbus.
I just looked up synonyms for correction, so like rectifying, writing, amending, altering, adjusting, modifying.
Altering's repair. Good because you can also like alter a photo, photo,
yeah, it's true,
photoshopped. Photo, but is there something that we can do with like a pun with Photoshop?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm like I don't know if like photo exactly has to be in the name.
Okay.
Like okay, so let's think about other TTRPGs. You've got Dungeons and Dragons. Right there, it just says, you know, the place and the thing.
Yeah.
Or at least a thing that you're fighting or whatever.
Sure.
Call of Cthulhu. That's more of like, you know, like the reference to, you know, the kind of main evil bad guy or one of the evil bad deities in that realm. Honey Heist. You're robbing honey.
Yep.
There's Dungeon World... There's what's the other fantasy one?
Oh that's a yeah. What it starts with an R, I think, or like what is that? I do know it's like the one that's broken off from like D&D.
Yeah, it's about there's Pathfinder.
Pathfinder. I don't know why that was.
And anyway, either way, but yeah, okay. So like those are all I would not all, but I would say like it. To me, a connecting theme is that they're very much about, you know, the world itself.
Yeah.
And then either, like, a prime suspect of it, but if we don't want to have Big Dumbus in the title, that's totally fine, or about just kind of, like, the actions that you do.
Yeah.
So...
I want Big Dumbus to be even a surprise to our listeners, so...
Okay,
let's not put it in the title.
Yeah. So like maybe something, yeah, like this is a little, you know, Marvel-y or like done in the past, but yeah, like Seekers of the Multiverse or like something like that, because it's about being these.
I mean, the multiverse is hot right now. There's a lot of multiverse
talking
all these things.
One might say a madness about it. But anyway.
the world has got a madness for the multiverse.
Yeah, it's got a fever, and the only cure is more multiverse.
Is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, just something along those lines, to me, is a go-to.
Snap.
Just snap.
I mean, I'm also thinking of, like, there's a new Marvel Snap game, which is not what I'm referencing to. I'm more thinking, I'm still on the photo thing of snap a photograph. But like it could be like, I think Call of Cthulhu is a really good name because it's like
just call it something like Time and Places. Very generic name.
Time and Places and Events.
Time and Places and Things Happen There.
The TTRPG.
The hit TTRPG. Times, Places, and Things.
That's I love that, but I don't think we can name a game that
time and places.
Yeah, well, it also sounds like it's like Pride and Prejudice. It's like the worst offshoot of like a Jane Austen. Time and Places.
Man. I don't know.
Conflicts and resolutions.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I think one thing that would help nail it down would be coming up with a name for what the players are called, or even just the characters are called. Like, are they agents? Are they officers of this order?
Let's stick with Seekers, because Seekers is just a good
Seekers.
It's like not been really used a whole lot, you know.
I
think that's a good term.
Okay, so Seekers, Seekers of, Seekers of images of, I don't know, like, I'm not sure, photo seeker synth, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some wordplay there.
Hold on, I'm gonna adjust my chair, it's gonna squeak. Oh, I'm sitting up for this one.
Oh boy.
I was slouching the whole time. I know. I'm probably sounding a little bit lighter or louder.
That's okay.
Boy, I wish I could just call it. We just call it Call of Dumbus, but
Dumbus is on the other line and he wants to speak with you.
Hey, I messed up.
I know. Ooh, well, this would be just kind of straight off of Dungeons and Dragons or a call to that, but like, I don't know, if you would like call the area that they're in or whatever, like if you called it a sanctuary, it'd be like Seekers and Sanctuaries. I don't know.
Kind of. That's pretty good. I mean, we could do like Seekers of the Sanctuary, you know.
Oh. Yeah.
Seekers.
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay. I think, yeah, if we can name the order, and it shouldn't obviously be named the Order of Dumbus, but like called like the Order of Corrections, the Order of, they go around and they right the wrongs, or they untangle the messes that are made, and so they're like, they're fixing time and space.
Okay, if this is about, I mean, at the core of it, we kind of got to it, like, this is about separating the two worlds from it. So it could be like Seekers of like Separation, or like, you know, it's about like taking, you know, two boxes that got mixed together and putting them each in their set, like single box. So I don't like the idea of putting Separation in the title, but it's like,
I understand.
It's something to that effect of like organizing Big Dumbus's mistakes.
Maybe they are simply called the Order of Untanglement.
Ooh,
something like that.
I think that's the best thing that we have. And I mean, if we want to leave
Seekers of Untanglement, or do you want to call the game the Order of Untanglement?
I kind of like just having it the Order of Untanglement, and then the players play as
Seekers. That's fine by me.
Yeah.
Time and Places Games present the Order of Entanglement.
Yeah. Well, we could even include that. Yeah, is the Order of Entanglement, : Time and Places. Time and Places together.
Time and Places - Events Will Happen.
Events occur.
Well, no, we should save that for an expansion.
Mm. Yeah, we could definitely have, like, yeah, it's like, I mean, all of this could be called like the occurrence of Big Dumbus, and all of the things that happen are the occurrence of Big Dumbus being Big Dumbus.
That's the occurrence of Big Dumbus. That is just shouting to me, Tomb of Annihilation. That's like a whole like side, like very scripted adventure or whatever. Where
we give the like a specific game, setting and things like that.
Yeah, it is called The Occurrence.
Mm.
Oh, maybe Big Dumbus looks in a mirror and creates another version of himself.
Whoa!
Yeah.
And then we can get to, like, an evil Big Dumbus, like, one that's more calculated, and...
Oh, man.
And then, that's... Wow. Huge possibilities have just opened up. Someone showed Big Dumbus a mirror, and that was the biggest Dumbus move ever.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a rival order. Their whole mission is to get to Big Dumbus and show them a mirror.
Ooh.
And then that happens, and then... Yeah, all these other things happen. Cool. So, the Order of Entanglement, the TTRPG?
Yes. The Order of Entanglement. Untanglement.
I said it the other. Yeah. The Order of Untanglement. Is that even a word? Yes. Actually, I don't even want to look it up. That's just what it's going to be.
Yeah. It is a word now.
It is a word now.
We made it.
That's how Shakespeare did it. Shakespeare just said things, and people were like, what's that mean? He's like, you don't know?
Read it in a book.
Yeah, which I'm going to write right now.
Yeah, which I'm going to write so you can know what it is.
So, cool. Well, all right.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming along on this ride with us. It has been fantastic. It's been a dang good 2 episodes.
It's also been a dang good 20 episodes, 21 now. So thank you for coming along with for this ride. The whole ride.
The long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you again. And I just wanted to say, too, that if you could tell your friends, your family, your enemies, your arch rivals, and your Subway sandwich artists about us, because we really appreciate that word of mouth traffic, getting the word out there, having more listeners, all that good stuff. It'd be great.
I agree with all of that. If you could tell all those people, we really appreciate it. And we also really appreciate you sticking around and supporting us even throughout all these episodes that we have and listening to these great board games. Again, if you have any sort of suggestions, you can always reach out to us on Twitter at PatchPotchRND. That's PatchPotch. And then obviously RND. And if for any professional inquiries, you can find us at where? I actually don't say that part.
PatchPotchLLC@gmail.
PatchPotchLLC@gmail. So, cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
And hey, it's taken 21 episodes to get here. If you could review us, I totally forgot that that's a thing. leave us a 5-star rating and review, and that's just really awesome and helps us and promotes us.
Yeah.
So,
and if you can think of anything that we've forgotten to say, like a review, if you know of any other tips or tricks,
leave that in a review.
Leave a review of what we could be doing to get our name out there, because we don't know.
Extremely helpful. Yeah. Look. If it took us 21 episodes to get there and finally say that, clearly we've got some grounds to make up. So
our mind is on board games, not reviews, which maybe it should be, but, you know, cut us some slack here, please.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you want to sign us off for this one?
Sure. I just want to just say thank you so much for listening. And if you could spare a few minutes to talk about the good word of Dumbus. Oh, who? Big Dumbus. Yeah, we're talking about the big thing in the sky. Do you have a few minutes that we could talk about him? Thank you for letting us in.
Goodbye.